Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
Hi, Bob.
Doc, what are you doing here?
I snuck into the studio.
It's not even Friday.
I know, but I felt really bad because I wasn't in town on Friday. And,
that's right. You blew us off last week.
I know. I didn't blow you off. I was in the air while the show was on.
All right.
And cool. I just wanted to come in and sit in on a Monday to see how Mondays are.
Doug McBurney. We get more calls on Monday nights.
Yeah,
I don't
Monday
know
nights,
why.
Well, a lot more people are home. And,
well, we give out our phone number Monday nights, but
right?
The end of the week.
You're just tired of giving it out. 800-836-9278. If you want to participate in the program, 1-800-836-9278.
Okay. And, Doug, today, you know, the news is about Iraq.
Iraq.
Hans Blix.
CNN is nonstop, wall-to-wall Iraq all day.
Yeah. And that's because of the money they make and the ratings go up.
Well,
it's funny now that the media is sort of pro-war a little bit.
Well, sure. They see the ratings. Yeah, they see the ratings book.
The cable news channels. They hate themselves for it.
Right, right.
They're just basically prostitutes.
Exactly.
They don't care real. I mean, they don't want innocent Iraqis to die, but it means a rating point.
That's right.
Every Iraqi civilian who dies, their ratings go up by about 100,000 households.
That's right.
So Ted Turner is torn.
Yeah, he's definitely it's a love-hate relationship they have with war over at CNN.
It is weird, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is.
Even PMSNBC.
Are they still on the air?
They are. They have their
really?
Countdown to Iraq, and they're yeah. they just can't wait for the bombs to start falling, but they hate themselves over it.
Yeah, well.
So, and then
it's
we have
fun to watch.
And so we can talk about that and George W. Bush, his State of the Union.
Big speech coming up this week.
Right.
Yeah.
And not too many years ago, it was the State of the Union address.
Oh, yeah, the blue dress.
The blue dress.
Oh, yeah, but let's not go back there.
That was the State of the Union.
Yeah.
The State of the Union address.
Address.
That's what it was.
That's what was the State
that
of the
summed
Union.
That summed up Monica's yeah. dress. Summed up the whole
story.
So,
you know, even though we're not really big George Bush fans, we're not waving the Bush banner.
No.
But at least you can watch a speech now and at least take it a little bit more seriously.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, once the Clinton administration, they moved out and all the W's were off the keyboards. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
And the Bush administration moved in. And the comment that was being made was, well, the adults are back in charge.
Exactly.
And at least to some extent, you know, that's true.
Yeah.
With you know, they did a very good job in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And so far, I think they're not doing all that great a job with the war against terror generally. Afghanistan was fabulous.
Yeah.
I thought.
Well, you can only do so much when you're not willing to use nuclear weapons.
Well,
no, I'm just, yeah. I'm not saying that he should have. I'm just saying.
No, we didn't even need to use nukes in Afghanistan. It was just a big military exercise with live fire.
Right. So that, you know, that brings up my theory I had about why we're going to war in Iraq.
Yeah.
That maybe it's a warm up. But I forgot we already had the warm up in Afghanistan.
That's right.
So are we further warming up? Because, you know, North Korea's out there and
well, every so
other
many years
spots.
It's good to have military exercise with live fire.
Well, that's good. Bush is packing them close together. Live fire exercise. Next year
one
we're gonna
after
have another.
One.
Yeah.
That's and right.
And then it's on to North Korea in 2004 before the elections.
You know, I was on a radio show today.
Really?
Yeah, in New York City.
Oh.
You know our rabbi that we've got on this show once in a while?
Rabbi Shmuley Botiak.
Yeah, that's right.
I've read a lot of his stuff in the Jerusalem Post. He's great.
Yeah, he's a columnist in there. He's a conservative. He's not a Christian. And we talked a little bit about the Bible.
Yeah.
And he has his own style. Well, we talked about Iraq, and let's get to that in a moment. But he says, Bob, you and I, we agree on a lot of issues, but my approach is different than yours. I don't like to condemn things. I like to entice people with the benefits of doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like on pornography, he'd say pornography is boring. Why don't you have real sex with your wife? And
okay.
he's got so that's his that was his argument. And we right-wing Christians were too condemning.
Uh-huh.
And so I asked him a few questions. I said, Rabbi, do you think you're smarter than Moses? Or the prophets?
Oh, and he's a rabbi.
And he's a rabbi. Yeah. And he right away said, no. Well, they did a lot of condemning, so were they wrong? And I said, so you think we can't condemn? How about terrorism? Can we not condemn terrorism? We only have to give the bright side. Think of the economic benefits of not having a terrorist in your country.
Uh-huh.
That's it. We can't condemn terrorism. He said, oh, well, that's an extreme example.
Oh.
So he wrote a book called Kosher Adultery.
Excuse me?
Yeah, Kosher Adultery, which is a book on encouraging married men to have a good relationship with their wife. But I said, you know, Rabbi, that title, what if we had Kosher Genocide talk about, you know, improving the property values in your community, clean up the community a bit, Kosher Genocide. That would be really evil, wouldn't it? And so you're trying to use these despicable sins, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, and just finesse them and make it sort of palatable and a little Madison Avenue marketing.
Sounds like it.
And I just don't think that's a good approach. Yeah, talk about the positives of doing right, but condemn evil.
Yeah, especially with young people. You know, they seem to when you warn a young person about wickedness and the you know, the cost of it or the damage it can do.
Right.
I mean, it's important to let them know that at a young age. And I know I responded, I remember being afraid of hell more than I was interested in having a relationship with God.
That's a great
early
point.
On in my life. Maybe I'm a weird example, but I was afraid to go to hell. I remember that. My mom and dad told me about hell, and I was afraid of hell. And so I looked into God, and then lo and behold, once I found out about God, then I said, well, I'd really like to have a relationship with God.
Right, right. So, all right.
Anyway, the number to call if you want to participate in the program is 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYARD. Call us from anywhere around the country.
Hey, Doug, by the way, a racist called up and said that we're just lapdogs for the Jews and hung up.
Oh, man. That's brilliant. He should get a show. Someone call IRN and get that guy's name and address. Because
get him on the air.
Yeah, he should have his own show.
Yeah, and you know, it is sad that the Christian community has more than its share of racists.
I happened to hear some anti-Semites calling in and harassing Michael Medved today.
Oh.
About, well, basically, it might have been the same guy. They were calling him a lapdog for the Jews. Something like, and he said, well, I'm Jewish.
is funny, isn't it?
I know. They called him part of the Zionist conspiracy.
Just that statement, you're a lapdog for the Jews, is a racist statement. You can't make that statement and not be a racist.
I agree. It's very inflammatory.
You can't do that.
And you also can't have an IQ above about 40, 45. Yeah. If that's the best you can come up with. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what else happened with Rabbi Shmuley? That sounded like an interesting conversation.
Well, it was good. He, you know, he's sort of a neoconservative.
Yeah, one of
those
guys.
And so he's against abortion, except. And he's against sexual immorality, except. So we argued all these different issues. And he said, well, Bob, abortion, in the case of rape, you know, we need to be compassionate. And he said, well, you conservative Christians, so how about we take this break, and then when we come back, I'll tell you the conservative Christian approach to rape and abortion. Hey, listener-supported radio right here, Bob and Yurt Live. Doug, the plot has been doing well.
I noticed that you have your massive monster printer set. All the default settings are set up to print the plot.
60 pages per minute, double-sided,
hole-punched.
Unpublished manuscript, overview of the whole Bible, 330 pages, and it's really the foundation of this ministry, Bible teaching. And so why not start out with an overview of the whole Bible?
Yeah.
That's
I got to tell you, Bob, I'm in a really intense debate with a pastor of mine.
Mm.
And I had thought initially when the debate started, I thought, I'm going to send him a plot. But then I realized that would be cheating. Because if I have to do the work
so
myself
funny.
And go find the verse, because it's so fun, you know.
Yeah,
and having read the plot, I have a really good foundation. So it's
and
a lot easier for me to find things
in
the Bible.
Not everybody needs to read the plot. Of course not. It's not like a cult. You've got to read the plot to be saved.
No.
But God gave there to be prophets, evangelists, teachers.
Amen.
And the reason he gave teachers, it says in the Bible that the teachers would read the text very clearly and give the sense of what's being said. And so that's what teachers are for. God made the Bible in a way that that you could use teachers. You could benefit from teachers. And so we start out with an overview of the whole Bible and then let people dig into the details.
Right. Then we'll get to the details. But what the plot did for me, Bob, is it helped me to know where I am in the Bible. It helped me be able to surf the Bible more effectively.
Yeah, so people can call us, 1-800-836-9278. Same number as the call-in number. Order the plot manuscript for $49.95 plus shipping and handling, money back guarantee, or get it on audio tape.
Yeah.
It's up to you guys out there. Give us a call. We have one more minute.
One more minute. This is listener supported radio.
That's right. And actually, listener supported internet, right?
The whole thing is listener supported.
Yeah.
And so we need folks to call and to pledge their support financially to keep the ministry on the air.
Yeah, that's true. And hopefully we could reach more cities. We're on 8 now.
In 8 cities. Well, Bob, I was reading the news today.
Yeah.
And believe me, there's at least 150 other cities that need this broadcast.
150.
At least. Just in the news I read through today. That need
right.
this broadcast.
You know, we used to have a handbasket in the studio.
Oh, I remember that was great.
And every time we had a map of the country cut out with wood pieces.
Yeah.
In every story, we'd put another state in going to hell in a handbasket.
That was classic.
And the handbasket said to hell on it.
So keep this broadcast going, folks. 1-800-836-9278. Pledge your support.
All right, 1-800-836-9278. So, Doug, he said, well, what would you right-wing conservative Christians say about a woman who gets raped?
Okay, and this is Rabbi Shmuley Botiak, a conservative Jewish rabbi, radio
right.
host.
So I said, Rabbi, the conservative Christian answer is you love the baby and kill the rapist. The liberal answer is that you kill the baby and love and understand and counsel the rapist.
Wow.
You see the difference between the biblical perspective and the liberal perspective.
Yeah.
And he's seduced by liberalism.
Did he see? Obviously, he saw the logic in that right away.
Well, he had a hard time rebutting
it. I'll bet there was a little moment of a pause there.
Yeah, we talked about welfare and Bush's faith-based initiative.
Yeah.
And he was in shock that I was against it. And I asked him if he ever heard of Thou Shall Not Steal.
Ooh.
And welfare hurts people. Why do we want to get the church as a middleman and get their cut?
Very good. So I bet he's not exposed to this type of stuff on a regular basis. Since he's in the media, he's probably surrounded by liberals.
Yeah, and adultery and his defense of the status quo. And we talked about how America is inflaming the hatred of the Islamic world by exporting our pornography and videos and magazines.
Right, giving them the only one real justified complaint they have against us is our gross immorality. We can't really argue with that.
And Islamic grandmothers are afraid that their kids and grandkids are going to see American pornography and they're going to start getting divorced the way we have a divorce epidemic.
Yeah.
And he was convinced that that's a very strong point. And then he said, but Bush is such a great man. And I said, well, how about Arafat? Isn't he the father of modern terrorism? Bush violates his own Bush doctrine by harboring Arafat.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you got me on that point. So anyway, it was fun.
Sounds like a good time. Now, what radio station was that on?
Out of New York City, but I forget.
Great
the call
big
letters.
AM station.
Yeah.
Big one.
All right. So let's see. Should we go to the phones?
Let's go to the phones.
Who are we going to talk to here?
Rich in Indianapolis, I do believe. Speak your mind.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Doug. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing great, Rich.
I have a question for you, Doug.
Okay.
Since you don't take calls on your show.
Uh-oh.
No, that's okay.
Doug does not tolerate sponsors nor callers.
Good.
On his show.
A while back, it's been quite a while, but you were talking on your show about a speeding ticket that you had a trial and that the judge complimented you and asked you why you didn't become an attorney. And
yeah,
pretty much.
That was really an insult.
On that one. But
right, that's a true story.
My question was, did you have a jury trial or was that a bench trial?
It was a jury trial.
So did you have to select the jury or did they just seat a civil jury for that?
No, I selected a jury. It was unbelievable to go through all this for a speeding ticket. It was very annoying.
It's just bizarre, isn't it?
And you know what, Rich?
The cost.
I think that the main thing that cost me the case was the fact that the jurors were just so annoyed at having to go through a trial over a guy who was so obviously guilty of speeding. they didn't appreciate it.
Why didn't you file a motion to have the radar gun inspected? I'm just curious, you know.
You know what? I think, number one, I didn't know how to file a motion. I didn't have any idea what I was doing. But the police, in fact, brought and showed records of its calibration and everything beforehand. But I could have won the case, but I'm not a lawyer, and I wasn't thinking strategically, and so I lost miserably.
Now, hey, yeah. Rich.
I wouldn't want to think like a lawyer either, but no. It's just funny how you can use their system against them, because I know Doug and I know Bob, and I know that you guys would never speed through a neighborhood where little children were playing.
No.
And if you're talking about speeding on a road that, you know, a main thoroughfare or something.
Yeah,
a road
that's made to do 120 and you're supposed to do 60.
And if a regular civilian, you know, does 10 or 15 miles over the speed limit, why, you know, police officers do it all the time. So if it's unsafe, then they should only do that when they're pursuing somebody.
Right.
You know, but well, hey, one more quick question, Doug. The theme song, the closing song that you play on your show, I was wondering, I can never get all of it. I was curious what band that was.
It's very difficult to find. Is it okay if I go ahead and say it?
Sure.
It's Neil Schon, Late Night. Former guitar player for Journey.
I recognize the guitar playing, and I wasn't certain, but I am an old Journey fan, so that was his solo album.
Are you married?
Am I married?
Oh, yeah. You're married, right, Rich?
Of course I'm married.
All right, well, I'll tell you what you do. Go out and find that record, and go and put, and get a CD player in your car.
Yes, I do.
Then you and your wife go out alone and just sit and listen to that CD. Sit by the beach or something if you can. Or you're in Indiana. Sit by the lakefront.
Yeah.
It's the greatest, most romantic album ever. Mostly instrumental, so it's really cool.
All right. Yeah. Hey, Rich, thank you for calling.
Thank you, guys. Keep up. Hey, and Bob, that rabbi was he's out there in left field. If that's the best that we can get for a conservative rabbi.
Yeah, it is pretty sad.
I really feel bad for the rabbis.
Yeah, and today he asked, how did it come down about the show tomorrow? We're supposed to have J.C. Watts on the program.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Oklahoma black Republican congressman who just retired.
Yes.
Probably wants to run for vice president or something.
Yeah, he's on his way up.
And conservative, pro-life Christian.
Right.
And going to have him the first half hour tomorrow night. And then the second half hour, a woman author who really despises Jesus Christ. And that she wrote a book that, you know, the true story of Jesus.
Oh, that. Now, this is tomorrow, second half hour?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't.
As long
wait.
As that all comes off as planned. And he... So he said, "Oh, you're gonna clean her clock, huh? Yeah, gonna eat her for lunch. It'll be
just like you did Eugenie Scott."
Oh yeah.
Now the rabbi said this.
Yeah, he
so
did.
See, he knew he was in a debate with a man who is armed with the facts.
Oh, it was a fun debate. In fact, if we could get a tape of today's show, we'll play the whole thing on a future Bob and Yurt Live.
It sounded like it was a good time.
It was fun. It was worthwhile. So, all right, Rich, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate that.
Now, a line has opened up. You can call in now, 800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYARD.
Where are we going, Doug?
We're going to Springfield, Massachusetts. Bill, speak your mind.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
Well, I was just on my way home, and I was listening to you guys talk about Thou Shalt Not Steal, and I wanted to confess one of my sins.
Okay. Well, we're not priests or anything, but
go ahead.
Well, I work for a company out of Chicopee. And we received like a training grant from the state to do like safety training and communication skills and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And some of this money, I got some of this money to get a license to drive truck.
Yeah.
Now, Bob kind of makes me feel like that was corporate welfare at its finest.
Yeah, because the government paid out this money to your company. You got some of the money, right?
Correct.
Well, here's the deal, I think, about unemployment insurance and all this, that I think it's absolutely wrong for a Christian to advocate these welfare programs.
Mm-hmm.
That's advocating stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
it's not always wrong to take payments from these systems because we pay in.
Right, yeah, that's what we do, correct.
We
yeah.
pay in, and so if Christian's going to get some of his money back, some of his church's money back, well then, fine. But let's not therefore advocate the continuation of these thieving programs.
Right.
So that's the way and we've presented that argument for 10 years on the air.
Yeah.
That it's not inherently wrong to take payments from the government. But it is wrong to advocate the continuation of a welfare system.
Yeah.
So that's now I thought at the beginning of that I heard you say unemployment insurance.
No,
Bob.
It's a yeah. training grant, basically.
Well, right. Even unemployment
your training
insurance.
Grant by the government, that could be debated because wouldn't you say, Bob, that the government is justified in actually spending some money on research for certain things?
Well, if the government needs to research something like how to build a better tank,
yeah,
fine, but that's not what they're doing with Bill here.
Well, what are they doing with you, Bill? What's all that money going out there for?
Well, no, they just basically I went to school with it and I learned how to drive a truck.
Yeah.
You know, just so I could get a license to drive a
So you took advantage of a government welfare program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
But
well, that's okay. I was on unemployment one time, and I thought I heard Bob attack unemployment, and that shocked me.
Well, attack unemployment. There should
unemployment not, even.
Yes. I wasn't unemployed.
Unemployment?
Though.
There should not be. You know, the more billions the government spends on unemployment, the longer people are unemployed.
But what's someone supposed to do when they're out of work?
Get work.
Well, easy for you to say.
That's right, it is. Because every time I've been out of work, all I did was go get work.
Well, I've heard a lot of conservatives, but I've never heard a conservative yet willing to stand up and say that unemployment insurance should be discontinued.
After the Civil War, there were 1 million men coming off the battlefield back home.
Right.
And the government started this huge unemployment program so that they wouldn't be starving.
Right.
Did it? Back then, it didn't do that. It didn't do anything. Well, everybody went back home, and they hadn't been working for a couple of years, and they all just started working.
That's right.
You work. You go to work.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah, bum. Go to work.
Well, don't you think that we have to have some sort of social safety net for people who lose their jobs through no fault of their own?
A safety net is a good way of describing it, or you can call it a hammock.
One or the other. Quick question then.
What, yes. Bill?
Hello?
Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
Okay. Real quick, Bob, what are your four basic questions to find out if a pastor has common sense?
If he has common sense? Well, how about if he's a good pastor?
Well, I know you've spoken before about, some questions you could ask him to see if he's
qualified? Like are you saying is a pastor qualified?
Yeah, basically.
I think that's very important to find out because when you start devoting yourself and your family to go to a certain particular church and to be taught by a pastor, you need to know where he's coming from.
Yeah, I got a list here. Anti-Israel, homos, death. Abortion in school.
Boy, those things are in the top 10.
Those things are good. We have our pastor qualification list, and from time to time, this is on the web.
Yeah.
At kgov.com. Mm-hmm. But, for example, does your pastor warn people to take their kids out of public school?
Right. That's what I was going to ask him, actually. Well, I know his kids are in public school anyway.
Well,
then he disqualified himself.
Okay. Then number two, does your pastor teach people to judge?
Okay.
And does he teach, number three, does he teach that evolution, the theory of evolution is dangerous and wrong?
Wow.
Does he teach against forgiving those who do not repent? Does he teach that homosexuals are evil?
Ooh, that's
Would he disfellowship
brutal.
Sexually immoral members of the church? Does he condemn abortion? Does he strongly criticize liberal politicians? Does he teach that some sins are worse than others? And if he's married, is his wife joyful? All right, so we'll clarify that when we get back with Bill.
But we're in the break right now.
We're in the commercial break.
We're in the commercial break. And I just saw out on the, as I was coming through the Palatial Studios here in the underground bunker.
Yeah.
Here at KGov.
The lower level.
I saw many workers frantically working with, now you've got, how many tape duplicators do you have now?
You have one, two, three, four. Four.
So you're able to crank
units.
Out all these audio tapes. And I noticed that they're putting together audio albums and then the Best of Bob selection.
Yeah.
So what are those? What is this Best of Bob exactly?
Best of Bob is the monthly mailing for the 8 best shows of the month.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, who selects
And we
the
have
eight?
Some good shows.
Oh, we have some great
some
shows.
Some are fun. Some are lame.
From time to time.
Some shows are lame.
You slip a lame one in there once in a while, but it's because you're human. Just human.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
Yeah, we like to think so.
Like, tonight's not going all that famously now that stop and ponder it. No. This show may not make the cut. So people have to.
Well, we'll have to
see
know,
how
we'll
the last half
see,
goes. But how much does it cost a month to get the 8 best shows
$49.95.
$49.95 a month. Not only do you get the 8 best shows of the month.
Mailed twice a month.
Mailed twice a month, but you're financing. Your funds help keep the ministry on the air, help on the internet, on the radio.
Right. And the 11 tape duplicators, high speed.
Yeah.
To give you an example, if we have, let's say we have a 90-minute tape or 2-hour tape.
Yeah.
They record, you put in 11 blanks in one master, and it takes about 90 seconds.
Wow.
Is it? And you get all 11 tapes, side A and side B, recorded, and all the tapes rewound.
That is slick.
In about 90 seconds.
And then they go out across the country to loyal and faithful subscribers who are putting their money where their heart is because they love Bob Inyart Live. And they're willing to come up with a little money every month. That's not a lot every month when you sit and think about
$49.95.
$49.95 a month.
And if somebody says, well, that's a bit more than I can handle, for how much is the monthly albums?
$34.95, they can get that, huh?
$34.95, they get a Bible study album once a month. $24.95, they get the sermons. So there are these options.
And we're back. It's Bob Inyart Live.
And hey, Bill.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Bill in Massachusetts. Yes. Let's finish our list, and then we want to clarify your four. The four that you mentioned.
Okay.
But our list, so, you know, it has to do with public schools, evolution, judging and forgiving, homosexuals, sexual immorality, abortion, liberal politicians, things like that. Mm-hmm. And the score we have, if your pastor scored 100 points, he's got all 10, right?
Right.
Then he should be congratulated.
Yeah. And what if he gets like 7 out of 10?
70. He's a good man, but not qualified to be a pastor.
No.
Pray for help.
Even 7 out of 10.
Yeah, if he's got 66, he's making a mess of his family and his church. Beware. If he's got 5 out of 10, and we have the scorecard right on.
Right. Yeah. We got to put that up on the web so people can see it.
Yeah.
We'll what if he supports Al Sharpton?
All right. Well, if he's got 5 out of 10, he's a fool. Find a different church. Things look good, but they're really bad.
Yeah.
If he's scored 4 out of 10, a 40, he's never prayed with anyone for salvation.
Wow.
He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. If he scored 3 out of 30, Jesus said, if they hate me, they'll hate you, but everyone loves this guy. He's bad. If he scored only 20, he's in it for the money or to avoid a real job. Escape while you can. If he scored a 10, he only got one right. What in the world are you still doing there? He's not okay, and you're nuts. And if he scored 0, it's actually Hillary Clinton in disguise. Run for your life.
That was a good list.
So that's the pastor qualification list.
Right. Now, Bill, when you brought up your list, the first thing you mentioned was anti-Israel.
My question would be to him, are you anti-Israel?
Oh, I see.
That's what I meant by the question. What's the stance on homosexuality? How do you feel about the death penalty? Is it for today? You know, abortion, you know,
right.
Public school, such and such.
That's a very solid list. And you can tell that Bob's list, with a failing score being 7 out of 10, mm-hmm. is definitely not created in either the public school system or the public university system.
Now, you know what we need to do, Doug? We need to put that pastor questionnaire up on Denver Bible Church.
DenverBibleChurch.org.
Isn't that a good idea?
Yeah, that's the place to put it.
You know what? I'll have our webmaster do that.
Okay, yeah.
You can get it right off your website then.
Yeah, you can pull it right down, and then you could actually take it to the pastor and have a great time having him go through the questions.
Oh, now, wait a minute. We don't have a webmaster. We don't have a webmaster.
We don't?
Maybe my wife, Cheryl, could learn HTML.
Yeah.
What are the chances of that? What are the chances of Lucifer repenting?
I don't think Cheryl's going to study HTML.
No,
but that's what software's for. You don't really have to know how to do any of that.
Yeah, but you do need a webmaster.
You might be able to figure out how to put that up on the web while we're on the air right here.
Really?
You might be able to do it. And in the meantime, Bill,
are you?
If we get it up on the website, you got to promise us that you'll pull it down, print it out, and have your pastor take it.
Make about 20 copies of it.
Yeah, make as many as you can, because believe me, you're going to be going to church for quite a while.
Okay,
I can promise you that.
There's a lot of them on every corner over here.
I thought for sure, Bill, that when Bob got down to if he only gets 1 out of 10,
yeah.
I thought for sure Bob was going to say that he must be a United Methodist.
I didn't think of that. We should have put that in there.
Hey, Bill, thank you so much for your call, and good luck.
Thanks for being a guest host today.
Well, hey, I appreciate Bob letting me in the studio.
God bless you, Bill.
All right, God bless you guys, too.
Thank you. What a nice guy.
All right, so there goes Bill. That was very stimulating. And if you want to call and stimulate the program, it's 800-836-9278. That's 800-8-NYART. Call and participate if you want to. And
all right. Now, Doug, what I'm doing, yeah. I had that list in Microsoft Word.
Yeah.
So I just saved it as an HTML file.
Wow.
All right. And I'm going to do my best, even though I don't know what I'm doing.
So you're gonna try to upload this onto the website while you're on the air?
Yes.
That's multitasking.
Isn't that something?
So that's a sign of one of two things.
What?
Either you're just a brilliant genius at multitasking.
Right.
Or you just can't afford to hire a webmaster, and you're stuck putting stuff, uploading files while you're on the air.
It's a sign of the second.
All right. Well, while you upload that, Bob, I want to give you an update from the Middle East.
All right.
There's a lot of focus on the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of things happening in the Middle East. And here I think I've got a first in the Middle East. This is from Reuters. A Kuwaiti citizen has asked a court there to change his legal gender to female after he had a sex change operation.
A Kuwaiti?
Yeah, this is the first case of its kind in Kuwait. And this guy's is a 29-year-old transsexual.
Oh, brother.
Okay, he appeared in court wearing makeup. Now, that reminds me, Bob.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you. We'll get back to Kuwait. I want to come back to America. I need to ask America, what is the proper etiquette if you're walking through the airport and you load your carry-on bag into the x-ray machine and you look up and the TSA official with the white shirt and the gold embroidered badge.
Yeah, the new federal security guy.
What is the proper etiquette when you look up and it is obviously a man dressed in woman's clothing?
Oh.
That happened to me at DIA.
Yeah.
It was so obvious, 5 o'clock shadow, jutting Adam's apple gray skirt.
Right.
And makeup that was just barely covering up the beard. It was so grossly obvious that I was looking at people in line and wondering to myself, is it appropriate to say something?
Well, I could tell you what. Well, for one, I wouldn't, because not at that point. Might not get on the front.
Right. She had a gun, I think.
She?
Well, it had a gun.
It had a gun.
I don't know if it had a gun, but I mean, it had the badge, so I figured.
I wouldn't care about the gun, but it's probably, it might take a hissy fit.
Oh, I could easily have missed my flight had I.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was chomping at the bit to say something.
Well, let me tell you two things I've done in circumstances, but not like if I go on United Airlines.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm going to complain about the homosexual male stewards.
No, you're not going to – not the guy serving your food. You're not going to mess with that.
Well, right? And plus, they might ban you from the airline.
Oh, that's true.
For being a Christian.
A homophobe Christian. They have a red flag on your e-tickets.
Remember, didn't you and I fly on a flight – didn't we take a flight together and I told you about the male stewardess?
In fact, Bob told me the way to detect a male stewardess is when he hands you your drink – he will have to touch your hand.
He will.
He
right.
will touch your
he
hand.
He will touch your hand because he's a homo.
And I doubted you.
And the female stewardesses, they all just give you your drink and you take it.
Right.
There's no skin-to-skin contact.
Right. There's not that extra brushing motion
every
with the pinky.
Every flaming homo stewardess has got to touch your hand. So Doug is reaching out for his drink with fear and trepidation.
And with two fingers, I'm trying to
now,
take this
now
drink.
Now, first, you got your drink from the homo, and he touched your hand.
And he touched it just sure as day.
And Doug just shivered and freaked out. So then he's going to give the drink back.
The empty cup.
And Doug is holding it with two fingers, with the drink is balanced precipitously on the tip of his two fingers. And the homo reaches around under the cup with his pinky and touches Doug's hand, and Doug just freaks out.
It was horrible.
And but, why is it that the pilots, they always talk like, we're at 32,000 feet. You know, why do they talk like that? And the male stewardesses say, please put your tray tables in the upright and locked position. Why can't the male stewardesses talk like the pilots?
Well...
why is it? Why do all the pilots talk like men and all the male stewardesses talk like sissies?
I think that there's a lot of peer pressure in the male stewardess community to add all those extra S's.
Really?
You know, you're not really doing your duty unless everyone knows at the end of your announcement that you are a homosexual.
Now, I don't have this confirmed, but we get a lot of email from pilots.
Yeah.
For some reason, we got a lot of pilot friends of the show. Some of them listen to the show in the air.
Oh, yeah?
That's against federal regulations.
They got their little MP3 player hooked up.
No, they tune in to KLT when they're 300 miles outside of Denver, 50,000 watts.
Cool.
It's totally against the rules.
Okay.
But, you know, pilots sleep on overnight flights anyway.
I know.
Automatic pilot. They take turns.
Yeah.
You practically can't not sleep.
You'd have to sleep.
You're like a taxi cab driver on a 12-hour flight drive.
Right. And there's nothing to hit up there. You just put it on cruise and go to sleep.
So anyway.
That was leading up to your point about pilots.
Oh.
And homosexual male stewardesses.
Maybe
we should take a call. And then we'll get our...
I guess that would help get us off this topic.
All right. Well, let's go to South Bend, Indiana.
For something completely different. Dean, speak your mind.
Hey, how's it going, Bob?
Good, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you.
After you mentioned that Kuwait incident, you know, with
the
guy that got surgery?
Yeah.
The Kuwaiti. The Kuwaiti.
My question is please excuse me. I know this is kind of raunchy.
Can't you say it politely?
I'll say it politely.
Right.
Is when you get one of these people that goes through this operation.
We'll wait in suspense. All right, hey Doug.
Yes, Bob.
How about you do the
commercial?
You do the commercial, and I will try to upload that pastor's.
Okay.
What do we call that? Pastor's question.
We're gonna upload the pastor's qualifications to DenverBibleChurch.org, and this is an opportunity for me to do a commercial for Denver Bible Church.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that reminds me, Bob. I have commercials from my show that I'm gonna send over to you.
Oh, that would be
so that you
so
can
great.
Have some commercials.
Actual real commercials?
Real commercials.
That would be great.
Yeah, so that we'll get some of those on. But, you know, Denver Bible Church, it's a great church because it's got something for everybody. and not just everybody, not people who don't love God or who aren't interested in the Bible, but even if, whether you're moderately interested, you're just starting to get interested, maybe you're not a Christian and you're interested in finding out what the Bible's all about and what Christianity's all about, well, come down to Denver Bible Church. We're just in Southwest Denver, right?
Is that where we are? Yeah,
that's where
Southwest
we are. Denver. And then this is an internet commercial going worldwide. Mm. So, you know, if you're out around the country and you're coming through Denver, you might want to at least stop and visit.
Oh, yeah.
So, but then, now let's say you're not just a neophyte. You know, you're just not getting it. Let's say you've been to seminary and you're an educated and widely respected member of the mainline, take your pick, a mainline Christian denomination. Even you could come to Denver Bible Church and you would be stimulated by the conversation at the Sunday school. Your mind and heart would be stimulated by the sermon that's given every week. It's just a great church that really covers the whole spectrum, whether you're brand new and you've just cracked open a Bible for the first time. You know, at some point you realize that your life was going to hell in a handbasket. So you finally picked up a Bible. Bring it down to Denver Bible Church. We'll help you figure out where everything is in there. And then if right up to the head of Denver Seminary, if the head of the Denver Theological Seminary came to Denver Bible Church on any given Sunday, I can guarantee you that he would learn something that he's never heard before.
That's pretty much guaranteed.
Something that he would bring back to the seminary, quite possibly, and probably shake the foundations of the seminary with what he heard out at Denver Bible Church. But it's a lot of fun, and it's just a great congregation. We got a lot of young families, almost exclusively homeschool families, and a lot of stay-home moms. It's really encouraging. Give us a call at 1-800-8-NYARD and ask about Denver Bible Church. It's Bob Enyart Live. We're glad to have everybody aboard, and we are live. The number to call is 800-836-9278. If you want to participate, you can talk about unemployment insurance. You can talk about sex change operations. You can talk about the Bible. You can talk about the death penalty. 1-800-836-9278. Write it down. Live it. Call it. Participate in the program. We're going to go back to South Bend. And Dean, now had you Dean, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Now, had you figured out a way to say whatever you're going to say in a
politely,
very genteel and civil manner.
Well, okay, let me preface it. Let's say if you know someone who's had one of these operations.
Yeah.
Okay, and let's say the operation was from man to woman.
Okay, from man to woman, okay.
Let's say if you're a woman, would you suspect that the woman would be comfortable with this individual going to the restroom in the same facility?
Of course not. Absolutely not. You're exactly right.
Maybe if you didn't know, maybe you, but you know what? You can almost always tell with these people.
Yeah, right. It would be despicable.
It's just, and it would be very, I would feel very uncomfortable. Well,
would you let your wife go into a restroom if you knew the guy was in there?
No, I would not do that.
Of course not. Or how about your daughter?
Well, my daughter will never go to the bathroom by herself until she's married.
Right.
Never in a public. I was with a couple.
Yeah.
A few months ago with a daughter who was probably 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that at the end of the evening when we went out to the vestibule to pay our bill, they allowed her to go to the bathroom by herself.
Oh, and it's a bit scary in our culture.
Yeah, I had to kind of say something like, I kind of made a joke, but I was hoping to drive home the point that there's a lot of freaks and weirdos out there, and you can't let your young child go to the bathroom by themselves. It's a sad thing to say, but it really is true. You can't do it anymore. So, Dean, I think your point is well made,
yeah,
that the truth comes out, you know, that like it or not, we all get the heebie-jeebies when we know that there's a transgendered type in the bathroom.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you,
appreciate
Dean.
Appreciate your call.
Appreciate that. So Dean's dropped off. Now that means the lines come open.
Doug, I'm real close to getting the pastor's questionnaire up on the web.
You're actually going to upload the pastor's questionnaire to denverbiblechurch.org. 10 questions.
That's right.
10 questions to help you pre-qualify your pastor.
Now, all I have to do is make sure that the link is correct.
Okay, most of the people listening on the radio have no idea what
they don't know what that means.
No, they don't know what the link means. That's the thing you click, right?
Yeah.
The thing you click that's usually underlined and it's a different color.
Now, I thought we had the brightest audience in the country.
Well, we do have the brightest audience in the country, but who pays attention to minutia like that?
Yeah, that's true.
No, they just want to go to the web. They want to get the information. And, folks, I think that it would be a good idea if you do download this, print out several copies.
Okay, it's on the web.
It's up.
But you know what I'm going to do now? Now, it is up, so you can get it. But what I'm going to do is edit it to put a statement at the bottom, you know, denverbiblechurch.org.
So you're going to – it's actually going to be officially endorsed by the church.
Oh, yeah. It's on the church's website.
And you're going to officially endorse not only the list but the grading system that you've applied.
Do you think that some of the elders of Denver Bible Church will object to us putting this up on the website without – What do you think?
Well, we might have to call a meeting of the elder board to get approval on that. No, I think that they would I think they'd be upset if they found it hadn't already been up there. So you're actually getting ahead of the game here. So, Bob, while you continue to upload to the internet and do all that magical internet stuff, we're going to go back to the phones and return again to Indianapolis. And, Terry, speak your mind.
Hello, this is Terry. I like your comments about the homosexuality. But I got a question about the church separated from state and federal taxes.
Okay, so you want to talk about George Bush's faith-based initiatives program?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is the deal here? Let me give you a little bit of it. My experience with the church, paying my tithes, offerings, into the benevolence fund.
All right, wait a minute. You give them your tithes and your rings? You take off your rings?
No.
Terrible.
I'm sorry.
My tithes, offerings.
Oh.
And
I thought you took off your tithes and your rings and put it all on the plate. I misunderstood. I'm sorry, Terry. HTML
Bob,
here.
Bob, focus on uploading.
All right, I will.
Okay, now, so Terry, your experience you're talking about in the church now.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, they read the scriptures in the church. I've been a part of this church now since I've been knee-high to a grasshopper.
Okay.
And it's always been preached, give your tithes, give your offerings, give to the benevolence fund.
Okay.
Okay.
What's a benevolence fund? We don't have one of those at Denver Bible Church.
Not yet.
What is that?
Well, I was given to it and thought it was given to help out those in need in the church, right?
Right, right. So it's a separate fund to help people who maybe are in financial difficulty in the church.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who administers the fund?
Supposedly the pastor and the deacons.
Okay. Well, supposedly I guess they probably do.
Well, so there's obviously there's been a little bit of some problems there, Terry.
Well, I went to the pastor when I first started going to this church 2 years ago, and I said, I give my tithes.
When you get done telling us, we'll tell you what Denver Bible Church does instead of a benevolence fund.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, you said, okay, Jerry, I wanted to know where my money was going.
Yeah.
You know, I give my 10% to God. What they do with it, first of all, was supposed to be none of my business, but they let me know.
All right.
Okay. They said, well, the tithes and offerings pays for the church, then you give to the missions fund, and then you give to this fund, and then you give to that fund, and I said, okay. And then at the end of the year, surprisingly, they give me this piece of paper that tells me how much I gave and what I gave to.
A receipt.
Now take this to the IRS and get your money back.
Well, right? not exactly, you don't get your money back.
You don't quite get all your money back.
But you didn't get nothing back.
Well, it depends on your circumstances. For example, people in certain tax brackets could give a lot more if they deduct their givings on their income tax. They could give, you know, as much as 40% or so more based on their state and federal income tax. But go ahead.
So that's scriptural then for the state to give me back what I give to the church.
Well, no. biblically, there shouldn't be any system whereby the government needs to know how much you gave to the church.
Amen.
That's
bogus. Well, that's why I told the pastor not to do that anymore, and I didn't put my name on the envelope and say, this is me,
It's not immoral for the pastor to help his members of his church be frugal with their money and be good stewards.
Especially since the government has set up a system that practically forces...
Yeah, well, let me give you an example. A Christian man could give $2,000 to ministry and $500 to the government.
Uh-huh.
or he could give $2,500 to ministry and zero of that money to the government. So the Christian man who says this whole system we have is bogus, but because I want to be a good steward, I'm going to follow these pathetic rules to give less money to the government and more money to ministry. So, but we shouldn't endorse the rules. We shouldn't say the rules are good. The rules are bad. And if you want to protest by giving more money to the government and less to ministry, you can do that. But, you know, which one will get you further? We could debate that. But it's not a question of morality.
Okay. It's well, I've had more problems with the church than I have those that don't confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to tell you the truth.
Well, maybe you, Terry, need to download our pastor's questionnaire from denverbiblechurch.org.
It's up there right now, by the way.
You need to download that, and if you can find a pastor who will pass that test, you will be happy to give him all the money you can and to keep as much of it away from the government as you can.
It's
tough to find a church. I agree with you, Terry. I have been in many a church where I'd have preferred to be in an IRS office.
Now, Doug, let's let's explain what Denver Bible Church does
instead of the benevolence fund.
Right.
Yeah.
In the Bible, where the Bible does talk about tithes, it says a couple things that I don't know. I don't hear usually on Christian radio. For one thing, it says that every year have a feast. You and your family, your employees, and really splurge everything you want to eat and drink and pay for it out of your tithe money.
That's in the Bible?
Yeah, that's flat out right smack dab in the middle of the tithe teaching in the Bible. So
right?
At Denver Bible Church, when we do cover verses like that, we tell that to people. God says clearly, let me pay for your feast once a year.
That's right.
So if you're going to teach tithing, certainly you'll include that because we Christian leaders, we don't want to be guilty of being greedy or anything.
Right.
And if it's God's money, we want to make clear that God says that he is generous. And once a year, he'd like to pay for a feast, like a Thanksgiving meal. That'd be a good, take your Thanksgiving meal out of the tithe.
Yeah.
And then the second thing that it says in the tithe teaching is one third of your tithe. You know, God told Israel they had to tithe 10%. And he said, one third of that, don't give it in to the central repository. Keep it within your gates so that you can help the homeless and the widow, the orphan, the people who are truly needy. You can help them. You could be the benevolent one.
Oh.
Because when you centralize charity, it becomes less effective.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have money and your neighbor, you know, he's a hard worker and his, you know, he's got an old Ford pickup truck from the 70s and he's just got bald tires and he's got a blowout. And he's really having a hard time. You could say, you know, I know you're struggling and it's going to cost a few $100 for new tires. I'd like to buy those for you.
Wow.
And you're just his neighbor. And he says, what? He says, yeah, my church, they teach that God said use one third of the money you would have given to church and use it to help those who are in need. And
that'd
I want to
great.
Help you. Now, that's a benevolent fund.
Okay, well, that's what I should have done for myself instead of giving to the church.
Yeah, and your Thanksgiving meal, take it out of the money you'd put in the collection plate.
Amen, brother.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was going to the Faith Assembly God Church in Beech Grove.
Yeah.
And I went to the pastor, and I said, no, wait a minute, Pastor. You're telling me all this money that's supposed to be going into the benevolence fund, tithing offerings, and so on and so forth, that you or no Assembly of God Church could help me or any member of this church after all that's given. And he says, well, Terry, there's not that many people giving to the benevolence fund.
Oh, you mean you were asking for some of the money?
I was asking for help.
You needed some help.
Well, Terry, that's inappropriate.
How is that?
It's inappropriate for you to go to a ministry and say, I'd like some money, and if they don't give it to you, you'd be resentful or bitter or angry or complain. That's inappropriate. You have a bad attitude there.
Well, I guess I'll just have to keep it.
Keep what?
The bad attitude.
No, that's wrong.
No, just keep the money,
that's,
Terry.
And,
no, don't Terry, string yourself out into
and
financial
see,
difficulty.
Doug, and that's one of the, at Denver Bible Church, with the way we teach about giving, it prevents attitudes like
but
this.
But I think a lot of
forming.
Churches cause attitudes like this.
Terry, you got to call in when we have more time so we can do a little more diagnostic.
Call back, Terry. God bless.
All right.
Appreciate Terry's call.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, but it's sad, though.
Well,
hey, this is Bob, and I remind you to do right and risk the consequences. Bye, Doug.